Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Jesus Christ, the Apostles Paul and Peter, teach that Christ can return at any moment, not in the rapture, but to receive His own and to carry them to heaven to be with Him forever. In the famous Olivet Discourse, our Lord provided signs for the imminent destruction of Jerusalem, Matthew 24, 4 and following. Then He said concerning His coming at the end of the age, "But of that day and hour no man knows, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24, 36. Christ warned His disciples, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." Matthew 25, 13. In his Thessalonian correspondence, Paul informed the members of the body of Christ, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. The Apostle Peter wrote, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." 2 Peter 3, 10. Since we do not know when the Lord is coming, we must be diligent that we may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. 2 Peter 3, 14. If modern dispensationalists, such as Tim LaHaye, Hal Lindsey, John Hagee, and John Bisogno were right, and they most definitely are not right, Jesus could not have come at any moment. Christ might be able to come any moment in modern times, but He could not have done so at an earlier date. According to these popular authors and many others like them, certain events had to occur before Christ could return. The signs of the times now point to His coming in our lifetime, some of these authors assert. But He could not have made His appearance until all the signs had been fulfilled. But now that the signs have been fulfilled, or are being fulfilled, the Lord can now come back as promised. That means very simply that the Lord's second coming depended on man's knowledge, skills, and achievements, not on God's plans and decisions. Beginning in 1970 with the publication of The Late Great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey became the leading guru of dispensational propaganda. His books have sold many, many millions of copies. But in recent years, Tim LaHaye has replaced Lindsey as the most popular dispensational propagandist. Dr. LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins have authored a series of books of fiction that they call Left Behind. That series has sold over 40 million copies. LaHaye and Jenkins do designate their books as fiction, but the books actually outline and explain their view of end times. Why the series has been such a great success defies reason. The books are poorly written from a literary viewpoint, and even more poorly written from a scriptural viewpoint. No literary critic will ever consider the books as good literature. Besides, they teach grievous errors on the rapture, on the Great Tribulation, on the Antichrist, on the Mark of the Beast, and on similar topics. Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins' nonfiction book, Are We Living in End Times? Current Events Foretold in Scripture and What They Mean, affirms that our generation has more reason than any previous generation to believe that Christ will return in our lifetime. Page 11 of the introduction. Man had to develop certain technological capabilities, such as nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons, before the events predicted in Revelation, in Ezekiel, and in Zechariah could occur. LaHaye and Jenkins say that two of the signs Daniel mentions, increase in travel and increase in knowledge, definitely point to our generation as the time of the end. Page 28. How can they be absolutely sure that we have achieved that increase in travel and in knowledge Daniel had in mind? How can they know we're not at the very beginning of the greatest increase in travel and in knowledge the human family has ever known? Maybe the next century will make our jet aircraft seem like Model T Ford automobiles or like horse-drawn carriages. Are they teaching that the second coming of Jesus could not occur before the ingenuity of man had invented airplanes, rockets, satellites, television, and the Internet? If what they're saying is true, then it makes no sense to speak of an any-time rapture. LaHaye and Jenkins believe the construction of a third Jewish temple is just around the corner. The third temple provides powerful evidence, they assert, that we are closer to the Lord's return than any other generation. Page 129. There is not going to be a third temple, at least not one that has any bearing on the teaching of the Scriptures. But if Christ had to wait for the third temple to be built, he could not have come at any time. So the at-any-time rapture contradicts the ideas LaHaye and Jenkins are popularizing through their fiction and through their nonfiction books. Why can they not see the inconsistencies in their theological positions? People who write and reason like Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins are leading many people to doubt the integrity and the inspiration of the Scriptures. To deny that is to be ignorant of what is happening on the religious scene. When dispensationalists continually predict the imminent return of Christ, they are opening themselves up to those who believe the Bible is a book of riddles and misinformation. Hal Lindsay's book, Planet Earth, the final chapter, argues that the Jews had to be in possession of the entire city of Jerusalem before the rapture could take place. Like most dispensationalists, Hal Lindsay thinks the prophetic time clock had been stopped for 2,000 years. The clock started again on June the 6th, 1967, when the Jews gained control of Jerusalem. Page 76. Several comments on this brief excerpt are in order. It is the height of arrogance for any man to call our generation the final chapter. Lindsay had earlier written a book with the title, The Terminal Generation. Both books predict that this will be the final chapter of planet Earth, and both books violate the teaching of Scripture that no man knows when the Lord is going to return. No man. Hal Lindsay and all other date-setters should remember that time prophecies cannot be postponed. Daniel predicted the establishment of the kingdom during the days of the kings who are mentioned in Daniel 2. Daniel wrote, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel 2:44. Either the kingdom was established when Daniel said it would be, or he was a false prophet. One of the key elements in any prophecy is that it be fulfilled exactly as the prophet predicted. If the prophet missed the date or the place or the details of the prophecy, he could not have been speaking for God. Those dispensationalists who insist that the prophetic time clock stopped 2,000 years ago do great damage to the cause of our Lord. They almost certainly do not mean to cause people to question the inspiration and the integrity of the Scriptures. But in many cases, that is the result of their speculations and imaginations. Lindsay thinks he can find justification for his belief that the old Roman Empire must be revived before the rapture and the second coming. If Lindsay were right, the Lord could not have come at any time. He had to wait for the revival of the Roman Empire. Please listen to our Lord. "But of that day and that hour no man knows, no, not the angels who are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not the hour when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Mark 13:32-37. The truth of these verses ought to be too plain for anyone to miss. But if Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, John Hagee, and John Bisogno are right, the people between the time Jesus uttered these words in the Olivet Discourse and today, nobody should have been too concerned that the Lord would come in His day. Christ had to wait for certain technological developments, such as nuclear power and television, and for the revival of the Roman Empire. The Lord's coming may be right around the corner in our day, but if these dispensationalists were right, it could not have been imminent before now. And yet LaHaye and most other premillennialists teach that the imminent coming of Christ had been the hope of Bible believers since Christ ascended to the Father. Hal Lindsey's book, Apocalypse Code, a dispensational commentary on the book of Revelation, discusses at length the place of modern technological developments in the events surrounding the rapture and the second coming. For example, he thinks the great star that fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, Revelation 8:10, symbolizes intercontinental ballistic missiles, which enter the atmosphere that could be loaded with nuclear materials and poisonous chemicals. Page 146. Lindsey refers to this verse from Revelation. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Revelation 9:7. Lindsey says these locusts were some kind of attack helicopters, with a tail-mounted sprayer for chemical or biological weapons. Page 167. The crowns of gold are the helmets the helicopter pilots wear. If Hal Lindsey were right in his interpretation of these passages from Revelation, God could not have sent His Son back into this world until man had developed various implements of war. That means very simply that God's plans for the end of the age depended on man's ingenuity and efforts. Is it not strange for people who teach salvation by grace alone to make the events leading up to the end of the age dependent on man's accomplishments rather than on God's plan? The truth is, Christ could have returned at any moment after He left this earth. He can come back any day, or He can delay His coming for a million years. There is not a person on earth who can take the Scriptures alone and prove otherwise. John Hagee, a very prominent television evangelist, is one of the most prolific dispensational authors. I have 7 of Hagee's books, all of which relate to the rapture, the Great Tribulation, and the end of the age. His books became national bestsellers, not because of biblical scholarship or of literary merit, but because of his popularity on television. One of Hagee's books, Beginning of the End, teaches that recent events surrounding the death of Rabin prove to him that Jesus Christ is coming soon, very soon. Page 9 of the introduction. But we must not question Hagee's conclusions. Since his visiting the famous Wailing Wall, he has felt divinely inspired to work to bring Christians and Jews together to celebrate what they have in common, and to oppose anti-Semitism. Page 5. Who are we, mortal people, to question a man who feels divinely inspired? Hagee thinks the death of Rabin has placed Bible history onto a fast track. Page 8. There is much more in Hagee's book I wish I had time to discuss with you today, but I shall have to postpone further examination of his writings. I must ask one question. Was the Lord's return contingent on the assassination of Rabin? If it were, then Christ could not have come back for His own until Rabin became Prime Minister of Israel and until his tragic death. That would remove for almost 2,000 years the anytime rapture of the Lord. He just could return at any moment now. But He could not have returned before November the 4th, 1995, the date Prime Minister Rabin was killed. Incidentally, many prominent dispensationalists vigorously disagree with Haggis' view on the death of Rabin. John R. Bisagno has been the preacher for the First Baptist Church at Houston for 30 years. In the year 2000, he wrote a book with the title, And Then Shall the End Come. The very title of the book indicates that Bisagno thinks he knows something about the time of the end that no ordinary mortal can know. He affirms that we are the generation who will see the return of Christ. Page 7 of the preface. He says that the signs of the times are taking place frequently. Page 9 of the preface. Oddly enough, he criticizes those who foolishly set dates and times for the return of Christ. He accuses them of having caused confusion. Page 9 of the introduction. But what does he think he has done? By arguing that current events substantiate that we are living in the last day. Page 13 of the introduction. John Bisagno is impressed, as all of us should be, with the exact fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. But as a dispensationalist, he cannot believe they were fulfilled 100%. If he believed in the literal fulfillment of Daniel 2:44 about the coming of the kingdom in the days of these kings, he would have to find the establishment of the kingdom in the church of Jesus Christ, not in some 1,000-year reign of Christ in a premillennial kingdom at the end of the so-called church age. He would also have to believe that Christ is now reigning on the throne of his father David, as Peter taught very plainly in Acts 2. The dispensationalists believe that Israel had to be restored to statehood before the rapture could take place. Bisagno says emphatically, the countdown to the end times could not even begin until a single event took place, the statehood of Israel. Page 23. So when theologians and preachers down through the ages taught, and they almost all did, that Christ could come at any time, they were simply misinformed. According to Bisagno and to most dispensationalists, Christ could not have come at any time, even though he said he could. Mark 13:35. Were Jesus and the apostles also misinformed? Did they not know that Christ could not return to claim his own until 1948, when Israel again became a nation? How absolutely inexcusable and indefensible. Christ's second coming did not depend on the fulfillment of any sign. If it did, why did he and the apostles teach that he would come as a thief in the night? Have the dispensationalists ever read these verses? John Bisagno discusses at some length the mark of the beast, Revelation 20:4. He apparently thinks the mark has something to do with modern man's ability to place a microchip in each person's hand, so the Antichrist can have complete control over the population of the entire world. He then affirms, never in the history of mankind has a system of this nature been possible until now. Page 140. In view of Bisagno's position, could the Lord have been mistaken about the timing of his return? Or is it possible the dispensationalists are misreading the sacred text? Anyone who sets a day, or a year, or a millennium for the time of Christ's return is going beyond what any human being can know. Speculation of this kind has done irreparable harm to the cause of Christ. In concluding today's lesson, I think it is appropriate for me to make a few observations. I want you to understand that I am not questioning the honesty or the integrity of any of the men whose writings I have discussed today. I have no reason to believe these men are insincere. But you and I both know that sincerity is not a test of truth. John Shelby Spong is probably sincere when he advocates changing Christianity to harmonize with modern philosophy, sociology, and psychology. R. Kirby Godsey is probably honest when he denies the significance of biblical doctrine. He even says that sound doctrine is arrogant, theological nonsense. Spong and Kirby are both wrong, regardless of their attitudes or beliefs. The dispensationalists are just as wrong as ultra-liberals, and many actually do more damage to the cause of Christ. the dispensationalists create hopes and dreams that will disappoint those who believe them. I want it clearly understood how strongly I believe in the Lord's second coming. If the Lord is not going to return, Christianity collapses into the world's worst deception. That would make Jesus the number one scoundrel of all times. I do not accept the doctrine of the rapture, but I do believe our Lord will return, not to establish an earthly kingdom, but to raise the dead and to take His faithful followers to be with Him forever. I cannot understand how anyone would want to live on this earth, even a renovated earth, when they can live forever in heaven with God and with the saints of all the ages. In the words of the old Negro spiritual, "I want to go to heaven when I die to see old Jordan roll. I urge you to get ready to go to heaven with me. I want to see the face of my Lord. I also want to see my Molly." Thank you, and may God bless you.